I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. How do you feel? How are you? You know, these are terms that people use for small talk. You know, you're running into somebody's house. How you been? What's up? How's it hanging? What's going on with you? What's up? And when I was a kid and we were being taught how to socially interact with people, you know, people would say, how are you? And sometimes you'd say, well, I got this going on, that going on, this going on, that going on. And people say, no one really cares about how you're feeling. They just want to say, how are you? And it's supposed to say, doing fine, thank you, or good to see you, or, you know. You just realize that when somebody says, how are you, they really don't mean it. They don't care how you are. They just want to say it because it's small talk. That's what I was taught. Unless, of course, you're with a friend and they seriously are asking you, so how are you doing? How you feel? How's things going? And I learned a valuable lesson in my own life with my wife. When one day I woke up, got out of bed, didn't ask her how she was doing. And she had a bad day. She was having a bad, she had a bad night. She couldn't sleep. And she wanted me to listen. And I took for granted the fact that she may be doing okay, you know, because she had her breast cancer. And come to find out, she wasn't doing okay. She was not happy. And I learned a valuable lesson about taking for granted that people around you are okay. You know, if they appear to be okay, then you don't even ask the question if they're all right. Or you, if they appear to be doing fine, you know, you just go about your day. Sure, you give them a hug and a kiss and you say, I love you. And you do all those things because you genuinely love the person. I mean, I genuinely love my wife. I genuinely love my stepson and my son. And I love them all. And I remind people, even the people that are friends of mine, I tell them I love them. Sometimes I tell the listeners I love them too. And the reason why is because I do, you know. I love them, and I love the people that I work with, and I value them a great deal. And I've learned a valuable lesson in the past two or three days about human behavior and how you can't always count on people to understand your intent. You know, you can't always, you know, think that what you're saying is getting out there the way you thought it was getting out there. Your intentions are sometimes, I don't know, people seem to think they know your intentions, and so they reply in such a way or they act in such a way where you're very surprised that they're acting that way, and you can't figure out why they treat you the way they treat you. Because you don't really take the time to sit down and say, hey, why are you being this way? Are you unhappy? Are you sad? Are you tired? Are you frightened? So no one actually sits down and tells people this. They don't. They just let it kind of sit there and build up. Till one day they hit their breaking point. Someone tap dances on a nerve and eventually they lay into you and they tell you how they feel about you, or they tell you you've been bothering them, or they are just bothered with the world in general. You know, I get that way sometimes. And I'm supposed to come on the air and I'm supposed to pretend like nothing bothers me. You know, I'm supposed to just get that out there, the information out to you, try to entertain you and try to make you, you know, not want to tune out to listen to someone else. And that's my job. And it doesn't always pay the bills. Sometimes it does. But that's the career I've chosen to be in because I feel as though that I care enough about what I do that sometimes the money doesn't matter. You know, sometimes it does when you're really needing it. But most of the time, if I'm living my life and I'm happy, I don't have to think about things like this. But since the pandemic, since COVID-19, I've been I've been struggling with a lot of things. Not necessarily, I don't want to alarm anybody, but you know, I've been having some subtle health problems that make me worry about how I feel and what I'm doing. And it's not mental, it's just physical. And I think it's because a lot of the mental angst and a lot of anguish and pressure basically takes over, and my body becomes just overworked, overwhelmed, and fatigued. It's because of a lot of things that are going on in the world that just everything I see just angers me, especially when it comes to politics. And, you know, I hate it all. I tell people I don't like any of it. It's just theater for the ugly. And people say, well, obviously you think Trump's this, and obviously you think Biden's this. And obviously I don't care because I don't like any of them. And I love to just basically say, well, this is what they're doing to fool everybody. But then you say that one's fooling and the other one's not fooling or otherwise whatever, and people get irritated because they don't want to be told that they're being lulled into this false sense of security. And so if I lay into one more than I lay into the other, people think that I lean towards one more than the other, and that's not the way it is. See, the media does a great job of kicking Trump in the shins. Every day I wake up and that's all I hear. All I hear about is how they're kicking Trump in the shins, and Trump becomes nasty, and then they become nasty to him. It's just one big nasty dance. It's all it is. It's just nasty, ugly theater. That's why people, they write me and they say things like, well, why don't you ever do the same thing to Trump? Well, the media is doing a better job of it than I do. And no one wants to talk about that, really. No one wants to just, they want to talk about other things. They want to talk about important things that change their life. Yesterday, Joe Biden held a press conference with his new running mate, Kamala Harris. And, you know, of course, these conferences are going to be part of the campaign. They're part of the pomp and the circumstance, of course, rallying the troops. It accompanies every election. These are the things that we see. We experience them, and we're used to them by now, right? And I was actually looking forward to hearing what Biden had to say because, quite frankly, this is the first time in a long time that he made an appearance. And there he was with his VP nominee. And, you know, it's history. We want, you know, of course, no matter what you think of Kamala Harris, this is history going on here. And we want to see what Kamala Harris has to say. And you know, we want to have an even balanced idea of what's happening. At least I do. I know a lot of people say, you know, they're immediately opinionated. Well, my interest waned, of course, because, you know, I only need like maybe 2 or 3 minutes to assess what's going on. And I realized that Vice President Biden or Joe was not speaking like a candidate. He was speaking as if he was president. He was speaking as if he already won. And it was indicated by Harris. She got him. She says, well, this is what leadership looks like. That was the ploy, right? Because Biden did not talk about what future plans he had for rebuilding what he felt was a disastrous run by Trump. He demanded that there should be a nationwide protective mask mandate. And he cited health experts' predictions that it would save 40,000 lives from coronavirus over the next 3 months. He wasn't speaking as a candidate for president. He was speaking as if he was president. I'm going to play you a clip. It's shortened for time, but just give you an idea of what that press conference went like. Here's Joe Biden.
I want to talk about one thing, very straightforward. It doesn't have anything to do with Democrats, Republicans, or independents. It has to do with a simple proposition. Every single American should be wearing a mask when they're outside for the next 3 months at a minimum. Every governor should mandate, mandatory mask wearing. The estimates by the experts are it will save over 40,000 lives in the next 3 months. 40,000 lives. People act responsibly. And it's not about your rights, it's about your responsibilities as an American. The fact is that as Americans are lining up to give blood, Americans volunteer all their time for food banks and local charities, supporting their neighbors that are in need. Well, this is no different. Wearing a mask is less about you contracting the virus, although it does help, depending on the mask, but it's about preventing other people from getting sick.
Thanks, Joe. That's what real leadership looks like. We just witnessed real leadership, which is Joe Biden said that as a nation, we should all be wearing a mask for the next 3 months because it will save lives. And the thing about Joe that the American people know is that his role of leadership in our country has always been about doing what's best for the people of our country, best for their health, their well-being, and for their families. That's what real leadership looks like.
You know, when she said that, that's what real leadership looks like, I thought a real leader would find a way to console a population needing answers. I mean, Democratic leaders have often criticized Trump for not being the consoler in chief. But doesn't a real leader know how to give some positive answers instead of making up more demands? Making more demands, in my opinion, makes a leader look weak. Okay. It shows weakness. And making people soft creates harder times in the future. So think about that for a moment. Softening the people gives way to harder times in the future. And he can tell people to wear masks and act like he's all presidential and demanding the governors mandate this stuff. But, you know, the 40,000 lives we're saving are 40,000 lives that we're saving from what? Coronavirus? COVID-19? Are we adding up all of the people that are feeling depressed and angry and sad that are thinking about taking their lives? How are you doing? How are you feeling? Don't just give some empty answer. People are really feeling sad. They're feeling tired. And they're ready to take their lives. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.